Then Jesus came with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane and said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And he went a little beyond them and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." Then, after praying a second time and even a third time, he said to his disciples, "Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners."
While Jesus was still speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12, came up, accompanied by a large crowd with swords and clubs, who came from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now Judas, who was betraying Jesus, gave them a sign, saying, "Whomever I kiss, he is the one. Seize him." Immediately, Judas went up to Jesus and said, "Hail, Rabbi," and kissed him. Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and seized him.
Those who had seized Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and elders were gathered together. Now the chief priests and the whole council kept trying to obtain false testimony against Jesus so they might put him to death. They were so determined to do so. But Jesus kept silent. And the high priest said to him, "I put you under oath by the living God that you tell us whether you are the Christ, the Son of God." Jesus said to him, "You have said it yourself." Then the high priest tore his robes and said, "He has blasphemed. What do you think?" They answered, "He deserves death." Then they spat in his face and beat him with their fists, and others slapped him.
Now, when the morning came, all the chief priests and the elders of the people conferred together against Jesus to put him to death. And they bound him and led him away and delivered him to Pilate the governor. Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor questioned him, saying, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus said to him, "It is as you say."
Now at the feast, that is the feast of Passover, the governor was accustomed to release for the people any one prisoner whom they wanted. At that time, they were holding a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when the people gathered together, Pilate said to them, "Whom do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ?" And they said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "Then what shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?" They all said, "Crucify him."
Then he released Barabbas for them, and after having Jesus scourged, he handed him over to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor led him away to crucify him.
As they were coming out, they found a man of Cyrene named Simon, whom they pressed into service to bear his cross. And when they came to the place called Golgotha, which means place of the skull, they gave him wine to drink mixed with gall. And after tasting it, he was unwilling to drink. What was the purpose of offering him the drink? The wine and gall were offered to slightly ease the suffering of Jesus as he was nailed to the cross, but wanting to remain fully alert for all that was coming, he refused to drink.
There, at Golgotha, they crucified him, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said,
"Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing."
They crucified him. That means the Roman soldiers drove nails through Jesus' hands and feet. The pain was excruciating, but Jesus, concerned about those soldiers, asked his Father to forgive them. Vengeance is for God. We are called to forgive as we have been forgiven. It was the third hour when they crucified him. According to Jewish time, the third hour is about 9 a.m. The soldiers took his clothes, dividing them into four shares, one for each of them, with the undergarment remaining. This garment was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. "Let's not tear it," they said to one another. "Let's decide by lot who will get it." This happened that the scripture might be fulfilled, which says, "They divided my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing." So that is what the soldiers did. And sitting down, they kept watch over him there.
Pilate had a notice prepared and fastened to the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this sign, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and the sign was written in Hebrew, Latin, and Greek. The chief priests of the Jews protested to Pilate, "Do not write 'the King of the Jews,' but that this man claimed to be the King of the Jews." Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." The Romans, oftentimes when they crucified on a hill. What was the idea? They wanted everyone to see the person hanging on that cross. They wanted them to fear. They wanted the people to obey them. Regarding Jesus, he said, "I am the King of the Jews." So they put the king up on the cross. And what was Rome saying? They were saying, "Oh, by the way, does anyone else here want to be the next king? Okay, raise your hand. We will put you on a cross as well." That's how they kept control of the people, by great intimidation. Finally, Pilate didn't really care for the Jewish leaders, so when they wanted the sign changed, Pilate said he would not change the sign. Those who passed by, as we think about Jesus hanging on the cross, those who passed by, the Bible says that they hurled insults at him. Wouldn't it be horrifying enough already to be on the cross, and yet people are now going to insult him over and over again? So they hurled insults, shaking their heads and saying, "You who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. Come down from the cross if you are the Son of God." In the same way, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders mocked him. "He saved others," they said, "but he can't save himself. He's the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him." "He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he wants him," they were saying, "because he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" In the same way, the robbers who were crucified with him, both of them also heaped insults on Jesus. Think about the insults. They didn't just insult him, but they're heaping the insults. Think about how you heap something up. You're building one thing on top of another over and over again. That was done by those who passed by. That was done by the chief priests. That was done by the teachers. That was done by the elders. And that was done by both of the men hanging on either side of Jesus.
Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple who he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother,
"Dear woman, here is your son."
And to the disciple,
"Here is your mother."
From that time on, his disciple took her into his home. Jesus, the oldest son, had been taking care of his mother. Since he could no longer do so, he passed that responsibility to John, his closest friend. At that time, Jesus' brothers were not yet believers in Jesus, the Messiah, and their half-brother.
One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at Jesus. "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God?" he said, "since you are under the same sentence. We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve, but this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said to Jesus, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him,
"I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise."
It was now about the sixth hour, and darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour, for the sun stopped shining. The Bible tells us that the darkness began at noon and it ended at 3. What happened just before the darkness? God was at work enabling one of the criminals to see his sin, to be sorry for his sin, to confess his sin, and to believe in Jesus as his Savior. What did Jesus do? He assured him that on that very day, both he himself, Jesus, and also the criminal in their souls and spirits. After their souls and spirits departed from their dead bodies, they would be together in paradise again on that very day. They would be in a place also known as the third heaven, the dwelling place of God.
And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice,
"Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani,"
which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing near heard this, they said, "Listen, he's calling Elijah."
The ninth hour is about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Jesus spoke in Aramaic. We are familiar with the English words, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why would Jesus say such a thing? Keep in mind, the Bible is clear that our sins separate us from God. What happened at noon? God the Father took all of our sins, even the sins of the entire world, past, present, and future, and he put them on Jesus. So now our sins separated the Son from the Father, and he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?"
So that the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said,
"I am thirsty."
A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it and put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant and lifted it to Jesus' lips. Jesus drank to fulfill the scripture. He also drank in preparation for making one of the greatest announcements of all time.
When Jesus had received the drink, Jesus said,
"It is finished."
With those words, Jesus declared his victory. He said, "Tetelestai, it is finished. It has been paid in full." Now, by the Holy Spirit working through God's holy word, what is he doing? He is calling all people in the entire world to stop trusting in themselves, to completely stop trusting in anything they have done, and to put all of their confidence in who Jesus is and what he has done, in the finished work that he has done to take away the sin of the world.
Jesus called out in a loud voice,
"Father, into your hands I commit my spirit."
When he had said this, he breathed his last.
The first and the last thing that Jesus said, he addressed God as Father. Father, forgive them. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Jesus began his time on the cross in a right relationship with God, calling him Father. He ended his time on the cross in a right relationship with God, addressing him as Father. However, in between what happened, he was separated from the Father, all because of the sins that you and I and all people have committed. Now, for us, what is true through the God-given faith that God has offered to us, and by his grace and power, we have received what is true. We are God's forgiven children. That is true now, and one day we will be with God forever and ever.
At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks split. The tombs broke open, and the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs, and after Jesus' resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many people. When the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, "Surely he was the Son of God."
To see the dawn of the darkest day, Christ on the road to Calvary, tried by sinful men, torn and beaten land, nailed to a cross of cross.
Father in heaven, we again acknowledge what has been given. We know without your blessing to each of us, we would have nothing. And then we know without your work in each heart, we would keep all you have given. But we thank you for moving each person to understand that what they have is a gift from you, and then to give a thank offering and to give to the work here, so that we can proclaim your word, we can build people up in the truth, and we can reach out to those who do not yet know you as Father through your Son as Savior. Bless what has been given according to your will, Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, graciously behold this your family, for whom our Lord Jesus Christ was willing to be betrayed and delivered into the hands of sinful men to suffer death upon the cross. We pray through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Merciful and everlasting God, you did not spare your only Son, but delivered him up for us all to bear our sins on the cross. Grant that our hearts may be so fixed with steadfast faith in him that we fear not the power of sin, death, and the devil. We pray through the same Jesus Christ our Lord. Almighty God, whose compassion never fails, and who invites us to call upon you in prayer, spare us from the just punishment of sin, which our Lord Jesus Christ has borne for us, and enable us to serve you day by day in our lives in holiness and purity of life. We pray through Jesus Christ our Lord. Please be seated. Receive God's blessing. Now may the Lord of peace himself continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with you all. Amen.